Welcome back. Game time. 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, and of course the 1620 The Zone mobile app. Rocking and rolling here on a Monday, March Madness. It's upon us. We have the field of 68 set, brackets in hand, and everybody is stressing out, right? By now, some people are on their like fifth bracket. They've filled out, crumpled up, thrown away. And it's just, you get so excited this time of year to finally get the bracket in your hands. And the madness, it will start tomorrow night with the playing games. But to me, the NCAA tournament begins on Thursday. That's how it usually is for me. I mean, when Thursday arrives, it is, I mean, it's the best 4 days of the sports year, in my opinion. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it is just amazing. It is absolutely amazing. And there, you know, see, you look at the bracket. There is another bracket, though, to be talking about, and that is the NIT bracket. And that is where you find Nebraska and Creighton. Real quick, I mean, I was having so much fun watching Nebraska in the Big Ten tournament. How fun was that? Now, again, there's an element in the back of your head of going, man, this wasn't how the season was supposed to end. I get all that. But man, that was fun to watch. And I tweeted this and I stand by it. It's just kind of perplexing given the bench issues and lack of production that Tim Miles never gave Johnny Trueblood a chance. I've known the kid for almost 10 years. My brother was his high school coach. He's way better than you think. He's just a winner. Made a huge impact. I think it's pretty telling that the guy went from not playing to, like, you couldn't take him off the floor. Tim Miles couldn't take him off the floor. But the thing that strikes me about this little run that Nebraska went on, it kind of confirms what I thought all along about this team's mental makeup. Again, I want to stop short of calling some of these guys and some of that, like, because I think calling someone a front runner is a pretty rough thing to call someone. So I don't want to go all the way there. But I told you guys, and you can go run back tape, but I told you guys 3 or 4 months ago that I thought this Nebraska team was a little fake confident, a little phony confident. And that fake confidence makes handling expectations and the target difficult. Because the second adversity hit with this team, they folded. The second things went south with this team, they folded. And guess what? The second there was no real expectations or real pressure, and that burden and bullseye was lifted, what happened? They played great. They had a different pop and juice to them. And they won 3 in a row. So it kind of confirmed what I thought all year. This team always struck me as being a little more fickle confidence-wise. This program has always been a team that has struggled to handle expectations and the target. It's one thing to do something when no one expects you to do it. It's another thing to do something when everyone expects you to do it. And this year, everyone expected Nebraska to do something. Just like the year after Terram Pettaway and the boys went to the NCAA tournament, everyone expected them to do something. And they collapsed. So in some ways, what occurred over the last couple of weeks, while it was surprising, it confirmed what I thought of this team's mental makeup all along. And listen, with that, with Creighton, they lost on Thursday to Xavier in the quarterfinals of the NIT after winning, what was it, 5 in a row, had a little bit of juice and momentum heading to New York, and they were squarely on the bubble. There were some people that thought there was a chance that the NCAA tournament bracket would have Creighton's name in it. And that obviously didn't happen. And with Creighton, there does get to a point where, in the moment, for certain teams, you kind of are who you are. within the year? Like, Creighton is a team all year, that has been awful at the end of games. And guess what? At the end of the Xavier game, they weren't very good. Now, they made a nice little rally to get back into it, but final defensive possession, gave up two offensive rebounds and a layup, not good. And then on the ensuing final offensive possession, zero urgency, looked not very organized, and shot blocked, ball game, Xavier advances, Creighton's going home. So, you know, what has been a frustrating year, the Big East tournament kind of ended in just the typical fashion for Creighton throughout the year, where it's like they've put themselves in position to win, and they just can't get it done. And it's frustrating. Thought there was a chance that we'd be looking at this NCAA tournament bracket and Creighton's name would be in it. But instead, I'm looking at this NIT bracket and Creighton's name is in it, as is Nebraska's. And so Nebraska's a 4 seed hosting Butler on Wednesday night. Now, I have like basically taken up second residency in Indianapolis throughout the last couple of months. I've seen Butler a ton. And I'll give you some thoughts on that game in a second. And Creighton's the 2 seed hosting Loyola Chicago on Tuesday night. We all remember a year ago, Loyola Chicago was the darling of the NCAA tournament. Sister Jean and everybody went to the Final Four. And they're both in the same region where if both would take care of business, Creighton and Nebraska would see each other in Omaha with a trip to the NIT Final Four on the line. Oh, boy. Get your popcorn ready for that one. But first things first, with Nebraska. I don't love Butler. Again, I've seen him a ton. I don't love Butler, but I think there are aspects of Butler's personnel that are a really problematic matchup for Nebraska. Mainly because of this. Butler has 2 elite backcourt players defensively. Kamar Baldwin and Aaron Thompson. Elite defenders. I think both those guys will be able to guard and slow down Glenn Watson and James Palmer. And as we've seen, if Palmer and Watson aren't scoring, Nebraska has a hard time getting to 50 points. Hell, even if those guys are scoring, Nebraska can have a hard time getting to 50 points. So I think because of how Butler is built defensively with those two players, I think Nebraska is in for a rough, rough go on Wednesday night. And Butler can shoot it. Jorgensen, Sean McDermott, they can shoot the 3. So I think Nebraska is going to have their hands full just because those two guys can guard the top 2 guns for Nebraska. Now, I will say this. They're going to have no answer for Roby. Roby could have 30 if he wants to on Wednesday. They don't have anyone that can guard Isaiah Roby. Face up, drive. Like that's what, I've talked to LaValle Jordan about this. Their hole on their roster is guarding good, big, versatile foreman. And that's Roby. So Roby could have a big, big game. But I think Nebraska is going to be in for a dogfight on Wednesday night at Pinnacle Bank Arena. And then with Creighton, you look at Loyola Chicago, obviously coached by Porter Moser, who's a former Creighton grad. So you got that storyline. I thought Loyola, while they were disappointing this year in terms of living up to the expectations they built up by going to the Final Four last year, while they were disappointing and fell short of expectations, I still personally thought they were the best team in the Valley. I mean, they won the Valley, split it with Drake. But they got, I mean, Cameron Crutwig, they're big. He's kind of a big, pudgy guy. He's good, man. He's got moves down there. Like, that guy's good. Like, Martin Crumple's going to have his hands full down there. And then as we, I mean, that guy is good. When I watch that guy play, I'm like, that's a high major big right there. Now, his mobility isn't great. Creighton will test that with ball screens and all that. But he's good. And then Marquise Towns and Clayton Custer are both back and both are really good guards. Again, they're both guys that have made shots and big plays in NCAA tournament games. They ain't going to be afraid of the moment on Tuesday night at all. So Creighton's going to have their hands full as well. And so, you know, both teams, I know everybody's starting to be like, oh boy, Creighton, Nebraska. Oh God. Oh boy. Both teams got a lot of work to do before they get to that point. I mean, Creighton's got to beat a pretty sneaky, talented Loyola Chicago. Then they would probably have to beat a Memphis team coached by Penny Hardaway that's got some dudes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just dudes. And then Nebraska is going to have to beat a Butler team that's sneaky good and a TCU team that has been pretty good when they're at home in Fort Worth. So we got a lot to get through before we would get to that exciting matchup of Creighton and Nebraska. Is it possible? It's possible. I mean, how much does TCU want to be in the NIT? They thought they were going to the NCAA tournament. As much as I illustrate the Butler makeup of being able to slow down Nebraska, Butler still is 16-16. They're not a very athletic team. They're a small team. And if they're not making threes, they struggle to score. And, you know, even with, so, you know, with Creighton, listen, I think Creighton's good enough to win the NIT. Like, I think they're good enough to do that. But I also say that and go, well, they also are going to have to, at some point, they're going to be in close games. They got to find a way to close out these close games better. So there's that, too. So there's a lot of different angles and elements to this whole situation. But I think this is a really important time for Creighton. Like, it feels like Nebraska is going to get it. It's like, you know, it'd be nice to go on, you know, going on a run, and the NIT is always good. But it feels like, you know, there's going to be a coaching change and all that, you know, so everything's going to be different last year. That's what it feels like. But with Creighton, there's not going to be a coaching change. And it's going to be a lot of the same guys coming back next year. And it is important to take advantage of this postseason opportunity. And by the way, before we go to break, not sure if you saw this, but there are going to be some new experimental rules in the Big Ten, or in the Big Ten, in the NIT. And coming up next, I'll tell you what the experimental rules are and give you my take on them and how they impact each team. Yeah! Yeah! Teasing you guys. I am teasing you. I am teasing you. I love it. Hey, I'm going to grab Gary real quick. Can I grab him real quick? Hey, Gary, I know you're waiting patiently. You want to talk about Nebraska for a second? Hey, go ahead.
Brother.
Go ahead, my man.
Hey, I got to go back to the midseason swoon when Miles said we were a soft team, we're a casual team, and that's how we practice soft.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up being a Husker fan where you watch that football and you play your guts out every game, you know, that's just not going to cut it. And that's a telltale sign, and that's the exact same time I jumped off the bandwagon when he made that comment.
Right.
So you are what you are. You are how you coach, and
yeah. You know,
that wasn't a good statement to make.
No, it's not. You know, I appreciate the phone call. And the other thing that, like, again, the optics of everything. You know what else didn't look great? Was, you know who won the Big 12 tournament this weekend? Iowa State. You know who was balling out for Iowa State? Michael Jacobson. Michael Jacobson was at Nebraska. Like, again, I didn't think much of Michael Jacobson. I'm shocked that he's been as good as he's been, but he's a Big Ten player now, obviously. So, again, so, you know, the optics of things sometimes also matter as well. All right. Hey, we're 15 minutes away from Vers. You got a thought? Hit me up. 402-951-1620. You can email the Equitable Bank Zone inbox. We take banking personally, equitableonline.com, nick@1620thezone.com, or on the JTech Construction Zone Twitter feed @NickBaugh. Give you those NIT experimental rules on the other side.